Hello, Texas Ranger fans, and welcome to another edition of Scooping the Texas Rangers. I am your host, Todd Kaufman. And yesterday we had RJ Choppy of 105.3 The Fan here in Dallas, Texas. He was talking a little bit about the Texas Rangers, who he thinks will be dealt at the deadline. Some moves that he would make, Nomar Mazara, and much, much more. On with me now from the Chicago Sun-Times is Gordon Whitmire from the Chicago Sun-Times. Gordon, how are you?
Doing well. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How's Chicago this time of year?
Well, I'm in Washington right now, and it's muggy as heck out here. Chicago here is pretty similar, not quite as hot.
So is it right to say you're kind of missing Chicago right now?
Yeah, it'd be nice to be home. Especially given what I'm forced to watch out here.
Well, let's jump right into the Cubs. There's an article that I wanted to ask you about. You wrote about Kerry Wood and his, I believe he was introducing a, I guess something with his wife, and something they were getting involved in, and it kind of keeps him entrenched in Chicago. But he didn't quite rule out that he would accept a trade out of Chicago, but really what he said is he wants to remain a Cub, didn't he?
Right, yeah, and if in the extremely remote case that he would be dealt, he would probably come right back in the off season as a free agent. And meanwhile, the only way a trade happens, he's got to approve it. And the only way he's going to approve it is if it's the exact right circumstances that works for his family, you know, presumably a contender, and something that he thinks he can handle for 2 months without disrupting things at home. So chances are, he's not going anywhere unless just the right thing came along, and if it created the right kind of prospect going back to Chicago to help the team, you know, for next year and beyond.
Well, is there a deal that you would see that he might accept? Let's say, you know, he had the Yankees deal last year where he really revitalized his career, I think, with his performance with the Yankees. Is there that kind of a deal out there, or do you think Kerry Wood's just going to nix any deal that comes along?
Well, and again, there's more than one element to it. Like, for instance, the Yankees. That might be a place he'd be willing to go, given his familiarity from last year and the fact that Larry Rothschild, his old pitching coach and friend, is there now. So those are factors that would make you think, yeah, all else being equal, if there was a team, New York might fit. Now, that being the case, he's probably not going to do it put it this way. One of the things is if it's a dump situation, which it wouldn't be because his contract is so low, you know, this would take Jim Hendry also going to him and saying, hey, Woody, we can really get a nice prospect, somebody that's going to help us win next year, or a guy that's going to be real high-end after next year, and so you would really be helping us out too. He's got such a tight relationship with Jim Hendry in that front office that it really would have to be, it would have to work extremely well and perfectly for both sides for him to even be willing to do it.
Well, let's get to another name that's making a lot of run, at least out here in Texas as well as some other spots. Other teams looking to bring on a pitcher is Matt Garza. Do you think the Cubs make him available, or did they give up too much last year for him to really entertain that thought?
No chance. Of the players that other teams would be interested in, Garza's among the untouchables. And the reason is, you alluded to it in part, they gave up a lot to get him. And beyond that, I mean, they did that with the idea that he would be a big part of that rotation moving forward. Now, not only is that still the case, and he's been basically their best starter this year, and he's still only 27 years old, so that all stays in play, keeping him here. But the other thing is, as it played through this season, they don't have any starting pitching depth, and they really can't afford to give up a starting pitcher, especially their most affordable, established starting pitcher. So he's as untouchable probably as anybody on this roster outside of Starlin Castro.
Well, let's talk about a guy that really has made the rounds on the rumors, and a guy that's been rumored to be on his way out of Chicago, and that's Carlos Zambrano. Where does that relationship stand between him and the club, and do you think he's a guy that's going to be on his way out?
I used to think that he would be a guy on his way out. I don't think so anymore. He's done a really nice job this year of keeping himself composed and not having his usual meltdowns, of being a much, much better teammate than I've seen him ever be in 5 years covering this team. And I think that goes a long way. That and the fact that, as I said before, they need pitching going forward, and there's not a lot of it out there just to go get. If you trade him, you've got to pick up quite a bit of that $19-plus million that's on his contract for next year. If you picked up, say, half of that in order to get a chance to move him and get anything back in return, you're paying somebody else $10 million to have Carlos Zambrano pitch for him next year, and then you've got to go replace Carlos Zambrano for your rotation next year. And to do that with a reasonable pitcher might take another $6-7 million. Now you're talking about you're paying $16 or $17 million instead of the $19 just to fill the same slot. You might as well keep the guy that you know.
Well, staying with pitching, I saw an article in the Chicago Sun-Times today about Ryan Dempster. Have the Cubs made a decision on whether to put him on the disabled list?
It looks like he's going to escape that, at least for now. He had a really nice side session today, and all of a sudden his back went from being really touch and go to he looked good today. I mean, he was fluid, moving around well, so it happened just a minute at a time. The only thing that will put him on the DL at this point is if he suddenly woke up with a lot of stiffness in that back tomorrow based on having thrown today. But as of now, he looks on track for Saturday.
Now, do you think that injury has a lot to do with his struggles as a starter, or do you think it's something else?
No, because it just came up. It just came up since his last start. So, and his struggles really primarily happened in April. And he looked healthy and fine coming out of spring training, so it's not related in any way.
Well, another guy that I want to talk about, Sean Marshall. I've been watching this kid since he first came onto the scene with the Cubs. I believe when he was a starter, the first start I saw him make was at Petco Park against the Padres, and I was as impressed as I could be with this kid, and he's been even better in the bullpen, hasn't he?
Absolutely. He's one of the top left-handed setup men in the game right now, and which is really remarkable considering he did come from that starting background and struggled as a starter, and then struggled as kind of a guy that did both, a swingman and a long reliever, and then all of a sudden last year he seemed to really find it, and he was maybe their most consistent relief pitcher overall last year that they had on the staff. And if you go back and look at his strikeout numbers, they really compare pretty favorably. He gets overshadowed by Carlos Marmol. Marmol set the record for strikeouts per nine innings last year, but Marshall was right behind him, and he's a hugely valuable pitcher in that pen.
Well, where are the Cubs right now with Alfonso Soriano? Is this a guy that they've really come to regret bringing on? And is there a deal out there that the Cubs would make to ship him out of Chicago?
You tell me. Is there somebody out there that's going to pick that up? I talked to a scout yesterday who said he was looking up Soriano to do just kind of start put his report together, and he stopped and was stunned all over again at how much money was left on that contract. $54 million over 3 years after this year. So I don't think there's a chance anywhere that that there's a trade out there to be made. I mean, they would have to pick up so much of that salary, it wouldn't even be worth it. You'd get nothing back.
So is that a deal that is it fair to say they regret that deal at this point?
Well, you can't look at it in a vacuum. You got to look at why they did the deal. They were coming off a 96 loss season. They were losing fans in August and September, and they were about to put the team up for sale. So, Tribune Company committed a lot of spending in the off season, and part of the mission was go get the best free agent hitter on the market. Well, that was Soriano, and if it had been any other year, it would have been another player. But they went out and did it. They got their guy, and the team president stepped in over Jim Hendry's head and closed the deal with more years on it than Hendry was offering. So they did this with a much larger picture purpose, and they knew that they weren't going to have to pay the bill. So by the time the Ricketts family bought the team, they knew what the payroll was. They knew what all those contracts looked like, and eyes wide open going in. It's not their regret because they didn't sign him, and no regrets from the people that did sign him because they're gone and they don't have to pay the bill.
Well, let's get to Wrigley Field itself. It's well known that this is a stadium that is really in bad need of repair. Are the Cubs looking at possibly building a new stadium, or are they looking to spend a whole lot more money for repairs?
No, it's repairs. It's not even on the radar screen that you would be talking about building a new stadium. The Ricketts family is only 2 years, not even 2 years, into their ownership, and they've taken a couple of PR black eyes with how bad this team is and lack of spending and so on and so forth. For them to even talk about rebuilding, tearing down Wrigley Field, getting a new ballpark, they would be pariahs. So they're not doing that. They're trying to make that ballpark viable for the next 50 years. That's the way they put it. And it's going to take hundreds of millions of dollars to do that. And right now they're trying to find a way to get money out of the public to do it. And so it's still up in the air exactly what the result is going to be of all that.
Well, last question for me, Gordon, and that's with the Cubs and the trade deadline. What would you call the Cubs at this point? Are they buyers? Are they sellers? Are they kind of still waiting it out to see what happens?
Well, if they could sell what they wanted to, boy, they'd put up the biggest for sale sign and the biggest neon letters you could find. But they know that the guys that they would really love to get rid of are going to be impossible to get rid of, and Soriano being one of those. There are some guys that should play in the market. I think that I wouldn't be surprised to see Fukudome move. Now it's going to take picking up a lot of money. I wouldn't be surprised to see Carlos Pena get moved. He's hitting really well right now for power, and somebody could probably use a bat like that. A guy like John Grabo, who's overpaid, but he's a left-hander and he's in the bullpen. Somebody might feel the need there. Those are the kind of guys I could see. Jeff Baker's being talked about. A lot of people have interest in him, same with Terry Wood. But both of those guys are probably, definitely Wood is, and Baker, from what I've been told, he's in their plans too moving forward. That doesn't mean he's untouchable. If the right deal came along, it might move him. But for right now, I think he stays. So there's the lay of the land the way I see it.
Well, Gordon, for fans that are outside of Chicago, where can they find your articles, and are you on Twitter? Are you on Facebook? And how can they read your stuff?
Yeah, I'm on Twitter, Cubs underscore CST, or maybe it's the other way around. And then suntimes.com, and all things Cubs and me can be found there.
All right, good deal. Gordon, thank you very much for the time, and we'll definitely talk to you down the road.
All right, thanks for having me on.
All right, bye-bye. And that's Gordon Whitmire of the Chicago Sun-Times. There's a lot of good information. And for those of you Texas Ranger fans, you got to be disappointed when he just said Kerry Wood and Matt Garza are untouchable. That has got to be bad news for Rangers, because a lot of people were talking to me about Matt Garza. What is it going to take to land him? And Gordon just said absolutely not. They gave up too much for him last year and too much in prospects. I think they gave up 3 of their top 10 prospects to land Matt Garza from Tampa Bay last year. So no chance with him. Kerry Wood has a no-trade clause on his contract. He's probably not going to waive that unless it's the absolute right deal. And I don't see the Texas Rangers having that kind of deal out there. Now, a couple names he did throw out. John Grabo is a left-handed reliever. He might be of interest. Carlos Pena is an interesting name, but I don't think that he is in the mix with the Rangers. He's not a fit for what they need. So those two names you can probably wave off and look at the Cubs as not really a trade partner in that deal. And coming on with me now, I'm going to bring a good friend in for his take. You've heard him with me before from whattheref.com, Russell Moran. Russell, you just heard the interview from Gordon and what he had to say. What are your what's your take?
Well, it sounds to me like I hate to go back to this, but we're going to be experiencing Cliff Lee all over again. Sounds like we were looking forward to a possibility of getting something, and according to him, it's not going to happen.
Well, at least not the two players that they're looking at. I mean, I would love to have Kerry Wood and Matt Garza, and I know I talked to a lot of fans about, what is the right deal to bring these two guys in, but Gordon just said absolutely not. That's not going to happen. So now you got to turn to a name that's still getting a lot of run, and that's Heath Bell from San Diego. It's Mike Adams, also from San Diego, a guy that's going to be in here this week with the Oakland Athletics. Grant Balfour is coming off the disabled list. The Rangers would love to see him come out of the bullpen.
You know what? Being a fan, as long as we can get help in the bullpen, that's what I'm caring about right now. And I think that's a great point. Last night, we just swept the Orioles, and our bats were there. Our bullpen did their job, and that just goes to show you what we can do as Rangers. So so I'm agreeing, man. To me, I'm not really worried about who we get as long as we get some help, because I believe that we do need the help, and our bullpen is struggling. So that's where we need the help at, guys.
Well, here's something that crossed my mind, and a lot of people are talking about Alexi Ogando, and he came off three pretty rough starts in a row, three starts that he really, really struggled, and everybody started to wonder, is he losing his confidence? Is he winding down? He hasn't pitched this many innings before. He's used to come out of the bullpen, but then he racks up two straight good starts against the Florida Marlins and Baltimore Orioles. Here's where I tap the brakes. Tap the brakes, Ranger fans, a little bit. Let's talk about the Florida Marlins and Baltimore Orioles. These are two teams that he shouldn't struggle against. These are two teams that he shouldn't be giving up 5 and 6 runs to. Their offense isn't anywhere near good enough. These are two teams that Alexi Ogando should shut out every time he goes out against them. But the teams that he struggled against, the New York Mets, the New York Yankees, even the Yankees alone has got to make you scratch your head and go, that scares me if he's still in the rotation, if, in fact, they face the Yankees again, whether it's the end of the season, whether it's the playoffs. So that, you know, while they're excited, hey, Alexi's coming back, he's got it back, hang on a second. Hang on now. We're talking about the Marlins and Orioles here. Let's not act like he just had great performances against two of the best teams in baseball.
It depends on what Alexi you're talking about, though, because I'm trying to look at the stats here. I don't think I'm going to get to it in time. But Alexi started out the season basically...
he started 7-0.
7-0.
Yeah.
They were comparing him to basically, you know, who's going to get... Is CMCC, whoever was going to be, going to get to 10-0 first? Yes, he had some bad outings after that. But it depends on which Alexi. Now, you also got to think about Alexi was injured during that time, and it may not be a huge deal, but he did have that callus on, that blister on his finger, on his throwing finger. So that affected, in my opinion, that affected him. I heard a lot about it from, I talked to doctors, and they said that, you know, that's going to affect a pitcher. That's your throwing finger. That's your throwing hand. You know, your fastball is going to be off. And that had a lot to do with it, in my opinion. Now, I didn't talk to Alexi personally, so I don't know. But what do you think about that?
Oh, Alexi is definitely a solid pitcher. When his stuff is on, when he brings his absolute best, when he's got that breaking ball going, when he's got that fastball in the inside outside corners, there is no one that can touch him. But if you watch the start against the Yankees, he was leaving a lot of pitches up in the zone. His breaking ball wasn't breaking like he wanted to. He was leaving a lot of pitches over the plate. The kind of hitters the Yankees have, the Alex Rodriguez, I'm blanking on some names here, Derek Jeter.
Teixeira.
I mean, these guys are not going to miss those pitches. These guys have been in the league far too long to stand there and swing and miss at a breaking ball that's sitting over the plate. Now, you know, I'm not by any means taking shots at Alexi Ogando. I mean, please don't think that I am. But I'm certainly not going to toot his horn all over again and say Alexi's back after two good starts against two less than mediocre teams. That's just, it's not going to fly like that. So, you know, I'm still in favor of putting him back in the bullpen. And for those of you who heard the podcast last night with RJ Choppy, 105.3 The Fan, he said it himself. Alexi has to go to the bullpen, and I couldn't agree with him more. He is as solid as it comes out of the bullpen. This guy came in last year and really lit it up in the playoffs. He was one of the biggest reasons that the Rangers got to where they are. You can say what you want about Cliff Lee, but Lee can only go so far. Sure, he can go 7-8 innings, but going into the ninth, if you have Feliz or if you have Ogando, you have two very solid pitchers who can shut teams down night in and night out. That's what you need. Ogando is only going to go 6 innings, 7 at best. At most of the time, he's going to go 6 innings. So you're leaving the final 3 innings to a bullpen that has proved time and time again that they cannot be counted on. So therein lies the problem. If you can find a starter somewhere, and you know the names that I've thrown out, Russell, you and I have talked about Jeremy Guthrie from Baltimore. You know, I've talked about him at length. I'm not going to start staring at a guy like Jared Weaver and think the Angels are going to bow out of the AL West race or even deal with inside their own division. But there are going to be teams out of the race. San Diego is definitely looking at being a seller at the deadline, although Although, hang on, the Padres are starting to get on a winning streak, and this is starting to scare me.
Homer.
Well, no. It has nothing to do with a homer. Now, here's my problem. Here's why it scares me. Because if the Padres keep winning, and you and I know that the NL West is not one of the strongest divisions in baseball. The Giants are not exactly running away with the race. Okay, if the Padres continue to win, and let's say they continue to take two out of three or all three of a series, and they get within two and three games of the lead in the NL West, Heath Bell ain't going nowhere. Mike Adams isn't going anywhere. Chad Qualls, Luke Gregerson, these guys are not going anywhere. That to me is huge. The Rangers have got to be hoping that the Padres absolutely fall on their face.
So are you suggesting they need to make a move now?
Hey, RJ? Russell just said it. Yeah, that was another point that RJ made last night. Yeah, the Rangers need to make the move now. But here's my problem is the Padres are going to wait. A week ago, they would have made a deal. If the right deal came along, they would have made it. Of course, the right deal didn't come along, and they're still hanging on to their players. But even if the Rangers, even if John Daniels calls them right now, and if he calls Jed Hoyer in San Diego and says, Jed, I got a deal for you. You know what Jed's going to do? Click. Because they're winning. They're not out of the race. Jed's going to go, you know what, John? I appreciate the phone call, but we're going to wait it out for another week or so.
If it's not broke, don't fix it.
That's right. And it's not broken right now. It was a week or two weeks ago.
Right now.
Right now, it's not broken. And that's unfortunate for San Diego. But Oakland's out of the race. But the question you have to ask is Oakland going to deal with inside their own division? Seattle did it last year, but God almighty, did they get the right players in return.
Right.
You know, say what you want about Justin Smoke, and a lot of Ranger fans hated that deal and are already talking about how they regret. You know, why do you regret that deal? Didn't Cliff Lee help you get to the World Series?
Yes, he did.
Why are you fans regretting that deal all of a sudden? Was Justin Smoke such a big all-star that you would like him back? You know, Blake Bevan isn't exactly tearing the world on fire in Seattle, and neither is Josh Lukey. I'll give Lukey credit. Lukey's going to be an outstanding pitcher. I think when he comes of age and gets a little bit better and gets to the major leagues, he's going to be outstanding. But Justin Smoke's hitting 230, 240, 250, something like that? I'm sorry. Would you rather have him or Chris Davis? Who's the lesser of two evils on that one? Yeah, Russell's shaking his head. I don't know either. Anyway.
Speechless.
You think we can go 30 minutes? I'm going to go 30 minutes, Ranger fans. You've only gotten 15 from me. We're going another 7. We're going 30 here. You've only gotten the cream of the crop.
Okay, if we're going 30 here, I'm looking at some stats for Alexi here.
Here comes the stat machine.
He's 9-3 right now, 2.92 ERA. He has gone a full game against the White Sox, May 23rd. He went 9 innings. Give up 5 hits, and no earned runs. I mean, he did pretty well. His ERA that game was 1.81, but it was against the White Sox. Against the Yankees, his worst outing that we're talking about, 2.71. That's not horrible.
You want a kick in the pants, Russell?
Yeah, give it to me.
You want a kick in the pants? Check this out. Give me Neftali Feliz win and loss record right now. What is he? 9-1. You said 9-3, right? Alexi
Orlando?
No,
Alexi is 9-3.
What did I say?
You said Natale.
Oh, sorry.
I don't know, man. I don't know. Pull that up.
My bad. No. What is Alexi Orlando's win and loss record right now?
9-3.
You know what Cliff Lee is right now?
I don't want
to 9-6.
Oh, hey, okay.
What's Alexi's ERA?
2.92.
You want to know what Cliff Lee's ERA is?
Sure.
2.92. Are you regretting that deal now, Ranger fans? Come on, I want to hear you. Come on, give me the no one has commented yet on my podcast. I am daring you Ranger fans to tell me why you regret this deal now. And this was a kick in the pants. I forget who tweeted this earlier today. I think it was I have to give him his due because he follows me on Twitter, and I he'll have to forgive me. But he's a writer with Yahoo Sports. I think it's Texas Ranger fan James or something like that on Twitter. But he tweeted this out earlier, and it blew my mind. I'm reading this going, are you kidding me? We're talking about regretting a Cliff Lee deal that you gave up three prospects who probably wouldn't see the Rangers in 3 or 4 years. I mean, outside of Justin Smoke, but really, he's not exactly helping the Mariners right now.
The reason that I think most fans are regretting the Cliff Lee deal is because of what he did in the playoffs. Yes, got us to the playoffs, got there to the ALCS, but what he did in the playoffs was just about unbelievable.
Okay, now here's why.
Against the Yankees.
Well, hang on. This is what also blows my mind. We started the show, or not started off, but after Gordon Whitmire came on, We talked about Alexi Ogando, and I said tap the brakes on saying he's back because it was against two bad teams. Now, Cliff Lee had some interesting numbers, and it had Ranger fans in a tizzy because they wanted to jump ship and say, oh, we got rid of Cliff Lee. We didn't sign Cliff Lee. Well, we didn't get rid of Cliff Lee. We didn't re-sign Cliff Lee. Okay, Ranger fans, he wanted 7 years. Are you really prepared to give him 7 years? I'm not. Because here's the thing. Cliff Lee's having 9-6, not bad. But Philadelphia, he should be 13-2 or whatever that works out to. Yeah, I think that's 13-2. But here's the thing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing, Ranger fans. Against the Florida Marlins, Cliff Lee goes a complete 9. No runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, 4 strikeouts. St. Louis Cardinals, same thing. 9 innings, no runs, 6 hits, 1 walk, 3 strikeouts. Against Boston, 9 innings, no runs, 2 hits, 2 walks, 5 strikeouts. And then he goes on the road to Toronto. And then, wait for it. 7 1/3, 10 hits, 7 runs, 6 earned, 3 home runs.
ERA of?
Whoa! His ERA goes from 2.66 to 2.92 in one start. Are you regretting that now? I mean, Toronto is one of the best. I will give Toronto credit. This is one of the best hitting teams in baseball. Say what you want about the Yankees, but have you seen Jose Bautista? Holy crap. This kid has one of the biggest power swings I've ever seen. And he is not built like Mark McGwire after steroids even. I think he's built like Mark McGwire pre-steroids. I watched this kid in batting practice when they were here in Texas. He was hitting 500-foot shots. I mean, he was...
Wow.
I'm speechless. Well, I mean, me and one of the media guys were standing there just absolutely speechless. He was tearing Ranger Park up. I mean, he was tearing the seats up.
Is he a lefty?
No, I think he's a righty.
Righty? Wow. Not even the jet stream. Impressive.
He was hitting bombs. And I'd say what you want about batting practice. That I know anybody can hit 500-foot shots. And
cork bat.
Mitch Moreland was hitting. Mitch Moreland can hit a 500-footer, let me tell you.
Yeah.
Mitch Moreland can go get after it.
Yes, he can.
But anyway. But, you know, you can say what you want about Cliff Lee. But against the Cubs, against the Marlins, against the Cardinals, against the Red Sox. The Red Sox, I might give you, because the Red Sox have a decent offense with Adrian Gonzalez, David Ortiz, Kevin Youkilis, and some others. But when he faces a good hitting team, he gives up 7 runs. You can say what you want about pitching against bad teams, but you're saying the same thing about Alexi Ogando. You're saying Alexi's back pitching well against two very bad offenses.
So are you comparing Alexi to Cliff Lee? And better question,
no.
Are you saying that Cliff Lee is trade bait?
No, absolutely not. I'm not gonna compare Alexi to Cliff Lee in here.
Well, it sounds like it. You are.
Cliff Lee, I would compare to a guy by the name of Greg Maddux.
Okay.
Cliff Lee throws harder, but Cliff Lee can paint the corners better than just about anybody in baseball.
Anybody I've ever seen.
And throw a breaking ball that is absolutely filthy.
Yes.
Alexi Ogando is pure power. He's going to try to throw 98 right by you.
Yes, he is.
But if he leaves it out of the plate, that thing is gone.
Yep. Agreed.
So, no, I'm not
going to... But statistically speaking, we're comparing him to Cliff Lee. That's what it sounds like.
I'm not going to compare him to Cliff. That's stupid. Why would I do that?
I agree, but that's what you were just... Hey, go back and listen to the last 10 minutes of this podcast.
I'm comparing stats. I'm not comparing...
Okay, all right.
I'm comparing stats.
All right, I just want to make sure all the Ranger fans know what we're doing here, because I don't want you to lose credit comparing Alexi to Cliff Lee.
Ranger
Love
fans
him.
Don't know what they're saying. Ranger fans will
Whoa,
freak
low
out.
Blow.
Ranger fans freak out when Alexi struggles, and then they think he's back because he beat two very bad offenses.
Now's a good time to say, hey, Rangers fans, why don't you subscribe to this podcast? We really appreciate it.
And you know what's funny? I just got approval on iTunes, by the way, today.
Congratulations.
Yeah, so I'm on iTunes now. You guys can download it and scream all you want.
There you go.
Although you won't, because you're not leaving comments, so there's your blast.
Hey, you need to download it, and you need to rate it. That's how we get recognized. We'd appreciate it. And while you're there, the boys over at What the Ref would appreciate it too, WTREF.
Oh, well, we talked about a lot. I mean, Gordon Whitmire gave some good information. We tell you about Alexi Ogando. There is going to be some definite moves here, and there's one name the Ranger fans would love to see go, and that's Chris Davis. He is going to go, I guarantee you, whether it's in AAA, whether it's in the big leagues, Davis is going to be dealt. So with that being said, we're going to leave that with a little tease there. We'll talk about Chris Davis a little more tomorrow, but we're going to wrap things up. Thanks to Gordon Whitmire of the Chicago Sun-Times for being here. We had a good time today. For myself, Todd Kaufman, Russell Moran of WhatTheRef.com, Gordon Whitmire of the Chicago Sun-Times, this is Scooping the Texas Rangers. We'll see you on the flip side. So long.